Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Patrick Vieira continues to haunt Spurs. Mikel Arteta eats a canary for lunch, and Ronaldo returns to Old Trafford in style. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday, the 13th of September. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm not helping you out.
He's in.
I'm here. As well. Pete, hello.
You all knew it was Pete from that chuckle in the background.
More of a cackle this morning,
evil
I think.
Cackle,
a Monday cackle for
you
everyone.
You loved the fact that I couldn't get you all into the top
Jules
there.
Jules is such a good presenter, but on the rare occasions.
Yeah. What have you got to understand about Jules is she's technically very good. Is she? Is she really?
Who wrote the intro, Luke?
Me. Yeah. You couldn't be asked. That's why.
No, because I couldn't think of something funny enough.
I packed it full of quality
items. And you asked
Luke.
You did.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Next time, Pete, it's over to you, all right?
Yeah, okay, cool.
How was your weekend, boys?
Pretty good, thanks.
Yeah?
Not too bad.
Went to a car boot. The biggest car boot I've ever been to. Got a bit overwhelmed. Didn't come back with anything.
Oh.
Wow. Because, you know, Jules, I'm not sure if you know this, but Pete loves a car boot.
Love a car boot.
And he bought so many wrestling figures from a car boot once that he left them in a plastic bag in a hedge because he couldn't carry them all the way home.
True.
Did you go back and collect them?
I went back and collected them.
All I'm saying is it to give you context about how much it takes to get Pete overwhelmed. Mm. It's a very high threshold.
Why was it so overwhelming?
It was just, there was too much stuff.
It
was
insane.
Too many stolen bikes. Too many stolen power tools. It was amazing, Jules.
But the lengths Pete will go to avoid a Newcastle heavy defeat. I'm going off grid. Don't contact me.
I don't want to be around anymore.
Saturday, 3 o'clock.
3 p.m, yeah.
You know what? My mum went to car boot on Sunday morning as well. I was down.
Come back with anything?
She did. She came back with a lampshade.
Yes, come on.
Which she said to my dad instantly, sanitise it.
Yeah,
I was like, what are you sanitising a lampshade for?
Because people like Pete got a car boot, so that's why.
I do love the fact, though, that on a weekend where there was such hype around Cristiano Ronaldo returning to Old Trafford, returning to Manchester, that it's an 18-year-old female British tennis player that's making all the headlines.
Oh,
go
mate.
On, Emma Raducanu.
What an amazing achievement. That
incredible.
That's why I was so tired and overwhelmed at the car boot.
Stayed up late. Wasn't it amazing? History made.
Fantastic.
Those of you who listened to Friday's show will know that I neither like nor I know anything about tennis, but I felt the ripples in the space-time continuum through osmosis because everyone was so into it.
It was amazing. Yeah.
I could not believe Larry Dibb was there. I very much enjoyed the fact that behind the tennis players, there's a big wall that's like advertised by Citizen or whatever, but it's not a big wall. It's a big screen.
Yeah.
Oh. I was like, wow, LED guys. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that.
Larry David was there. He was just there to check if the players both respected Wood.
It was really, really good.
It was amazing, wasn't it? But let's talk about the football then, because that's what you're all here for, not the tennis, Luke?
Yeah, I just think people will feel shortchanged if they listen to me talk about tennis.
It's fine.
More than they usually are hearing me talk about football, if that's possible.
Well, Ronaldo, he made his return and he did it in style, didn't he? A 4-1 win over Newcastle for Manchester United. I did think it was quite amusing that even though I work in broadcasting, the broadcasters got this so wrong by not having this as one of the televised games.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it?
The fact that Ronaldo's return happened in a 3 o'clock blackout when no one else could watch it.
Oh, I mean, a friend of mine was watching it in Dutch.
I bet there were quite a few people.
A friend of yours was streaming it.
A friend of mine was streaming it in Dutch.
Legal streams.
And he or she were very interested by the fact that they were talking in Dutch and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then he'd sort of go, Alex Ferguson, Noisy Neighbours.
Did he?
It was a lovely moment.
Nice. And I think the only place to start, though, really, is to just double check that Steve Bruce had a good time. It's good for him to be a part of another chapter of Manchester United history.
I think he had a lovely day out, to be quite
until
frank.
The press conference,
nice
obviously.
To be back until the press conference when they asked whether it was a good idea for him to go on holiday for a week.
Oh, he weren't too happy about that, was he? Do I really need to answer?
Yeah, but I don't think Steve helps himself. And I was saying this to Pete earlier. If you're going to do that, Steve, and a lot of your players are away on international duty, so you think, I'm going to have a week away. Now, I don't know if he officially had a week away or not. I suspect by his reaction to the questions, he probably did. Listen, stick a laptop under your wing for the photos so it looks like you're working. As Pete correctly said, go to a game.
Yeah.
Give up 90
Any
minutes
game.
Of your holiday.
Any game.
And then you're away. It's a working trip automatically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's implications for that for expenses as well, which we won't go into for legal reasons.
Get Charnley on FaceTime.
Do it. Schedule a FaceTime with Charnley. Don't do it, though, because the connection was bad.
You
were going to do it. There are ways around this, Steve, and I don't think Steve sometimes helps himself.
I didn't think about the Roman charges. That's going to cost us, isn't it?
Did you, Pete, because when Newcastle equalised, nice goal as well, by the
good
way.
Girl.
They had some good moments in the game, I
thought.
They did. They had three counter-attacks, which I thought were decent, and they played their part.
Did you ever dare to hope when the equaliser went in?
I said it on the show on, was it Friday? I thought that they might spoil the party. Newcastle have the capacity to stodge stuff up. And I think they tried their level best to do so, but the keeper didn't get the memo.
I don't think the keeper felt like it was his place to ruin Ronaldo's day.
True, yeah, true. True.
I also don't think it helped you didn't have Callum Wilson out there as well.
Like, it is.
He's such a big loss for Newcastle.
It's difficult to be angry at Callum Wilson because he is an injury-prone player, and Newcastle knew that when they purchased him. But again, something I've said before, Newcastle won't go down if Callum Wilson plays. If he can't play, then, they might go down. Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I think it's a lot to ask for Alan Saint-Maximin to play up front on his own at Old Trafford while he's also head of social media at Newcastle.
He was berating.
He was calling them out, wasn't he?
He was calling
out. Trying to get someone sacked.
NUFC.co.uk. Social media people said, if you don't, like, can you please publicise the fact that I'm now on TikTok or you are fired, basically.
This is amazing, isn't it?
I think if like...
Not just once, twice.
Yeah.
If Jonjo Shelby did that on Twitter, people would be saying that is disgraceful.
No one wants to see that TikTok.
That's true. But
haunted moon.
Alan Samaxman is in a is in the position of power. He shouldn't be digging out entry-level employees like that.
Look, I mean, yeah, I completely agree.
It's amazing.
It was great. I mean, because it's ASM, he gets away with it.
Yeah,
he
does get away with it, yeah. Exactly. Let's talk a bit about the football then, because... because I guess I feel like I was one of the fortunate ones on Saturday afternoon who was able to see, as the players walked out onto the pitch and hear that reception from the Old Trafford crowd, seeing Ronaldo back in that number 7 shirt walk out onto the pitch. And to be honest, it was actually a really weird first half because there were six games kicking off at 3 o'clock and not a single goal in any Premier League
tough
game until just it was actually.
Yeah, a lot of tweets.
Yeah.
A lot of tweets being read out in the first half on BT Sports Score. I'm telling you.
I made a few up. No, I'm joking. I didn't. But yeah, then finally you got the Ronaldo opener and why did anyone ever doubt that this was going to happen? Why did anyone doubt it? Of course it was going to be the way, right?
It's a good question. I don't know if many people did doubt the fact that he will score goals. I've not really heard an awful lot of chat around that. A lot of the chat seemed to be, will he kick them on and get them and deliver them the Premier League title, which obviously still remains to be seen. But the two goals he scored were really, really interesting because the one was like a proper fox in the box, anticipate before anyone else goal, which... You know, he's probably never going to lose. I mean, his physical reactions will decline in time, but mentally he's not going to lose that. But the second goal for me was the most interesting. If you put aside what was basically a goalkeeping error, as Pete's already alluded to, it wasn't about that because generally speaking, his finishing is obviously very, very good. But it's the anticipation of his run and the ability to still outstrip a defender who's a lot younger than him and get himself in that position. You know, really, for a player of Ronaldo's quality, once he gets to the point where he's pulling the trigger, all the hard work's done, really, because his finishing's so good. Now, his finish wasn't actually that great, but the goalkeeper helped him out a bit. Nevertheless, it's two types of goals that you think, right, if he's going to contribute both of those types of goals regularly, that's going to help them a great deal. Now, Man United didn't struggle to score goals last season. Man United also didn't struggle away from home last season. It was at home. The reception he got and the atmosphere around him playing at a full capacity Old Trafford could matter a great deal in where the title goes. My suspicion is that they may still get a little bit bogged down when they play the other big teams. And I don't think Ronaldo necessarily helps you with that because of what he doesn't offer off the ball and all the rest of it. But if they can turn Old Trafford into a fortress like they used to do 20-odd years ago, and they can maintain that away form, needless to say, they're going to go very close.
I think it felt really nostalgic. It kind of felt like for the first time since the Sir Alex Ferguson era that this felt like a Manchester United that teams are now going to fear. That was the big difference for me. And actually, I think what surprised me a bit about the Ronaldo performance, because like you, Luke, there was no doubt that he was obviously going to score goals for them and be a massive aid in potentially making them title contenders this season. For me, like you say, it's the second goal. The fact that he actually ball through from Luke Shaw was amazing to him, by the way. And the run from Ronaldo. And yes, of course, the goalkeeper didn't help things. But I was more surprised to see him doing a lot more of that type of stuff. Because, of course, we all expected him to be in the box scoring goals. But actually, I saw him a lot more kind of asking for the ball and trying to be involved in things a lot more. I think that just says a lot about him as a player. He's so hungry to do well and he's so determined to make this a success and actually to kind of make Manchester United what they used to be. And we're already seeing glimpses of that in one game, which is insane.
Oh, I think that Manchester United have been trying to buy off the supporters with one marquee signing after another marquee signing.
Yeah.
But this one
actually is one.
Actually is a marquee signing that will absolutely munch goals like the ones that we presented with. The sort of goals that, to be quite frank, teams like Chelsea haven't been putting away before Lukaku arrived. And it was really interesting. And I think a lot of him wanting the ball quite a lot, certainly the first half, was just him settling his nose because 100%. It was a crazy, it was a carnival. And, you know, I hate to question the intentions of an entire media horny on men about one man's physique, and you know he's not that old.
You're used to it because of me.
You're just constantly talking about my physique, aren't you?
Yeah.
But I mean, some of the reporting over the weekend was astonishing 20 pages in the Manchester Evening News, Viva Ronaldo, this pullout that they produced. You know, this is it. This is, we got a plane looping around with, you know, believe Catherine Mayorga, a banner behind it and stuff. Sport is difficult. Money, power imbalances are difficult. And, you know, it, the thin end of the wedge is the ASM battle with the NUSA.co.uk media people, right up to what we've got with one of the most celebrated footballers in modern history. It was a weird weekend for a lot of people. And I think a lot of Manchester United fans, Vish spoke about it very eloquently last week. It's a weird time, but he is performing on the pitch, and that's seemingly all Manchester United seem to care about.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting juxtaposition, because you clearly have people who feel rightly very strongly about the issue that you mentioned there, with the Believe Catherine Mayorga banner that went over Old Trafford on during the game. There was a really interesting piece now, and I'm so sorry, I can't exactly remember who wrote it, and I literally just remembered it now, where a journalist was talking about Cristiano Ronaldo being almost the personification of victory. Like, he's a one-man industry. The reason that people are so excited about him being at United, it's not just because of the skills he brings on the pitch and his talent and his goal-scoring ability, but he is, as they put it far better than I could, the personification of victory. He kind of just wins wherever he goes, right? And clearly, he didn't deliver the Champions League at Juventus, but he delivered this, that and the other, and he's won throughout his career, really without fail. And people expect that of him. But it's very hard to combat something that you've mentioned there, 20 pages of coverage of him, which is all completely positive, not really mentioned the light and shade at all. On one level, you can understand it, because he's such an iconic player for Manchester United. I mean, he said it himself afterwards. The fans are waiting around. The fans who love him unequivocally, and we have a real issue, I think, with being blinded by our fan loyalty.
And it has to be black and white, isn't it?
I've seen it time and time again. But we have to accept those people, they waited around for an hour and a half afterwards, thousands of them, just to see him be interviewed after the game. We're talking about an entirely new level again. So it's really important, I think, that we keep airing these alternative stories that are credible, that are interesting to people to listen to, and also should be mentioned. But this is going to be a circus wherever he goes this season. And this is the start of it, not the end.
And you say, when you talk about fan loyalty as well, it's not just the Manchester United fans that are in awe of him returning to the Premier League. It's, like you say, there is this entire circus around it from all clubs, all around the globe. The eyes that would have been on that match on Saturday, it would have been...
Well, everywhere apart from the UK where you couldn't watch the fucking thing.
Literally, it would have been...
Even my friend who was listening to the stream, watching the stream, whoever it was... I'm not going to expose them because they were doing something very illegal. But I'm just saying that even the servers were overloaded. Couldn't get a stream for love nor money, my friend said.
You heard.
Yeah, I heard.
You were at Car Boot, so you knew nothing about it.
An insider said, yeah.
Well, look, it was an incredible start to this new era at Manchester United with him in the team, regardless in terms of the result, the performance as well. Solskjaer said there's nowhere to hide now for the rest of the Manchester United players now Ronaldo's at the club. And that's the truth, there's now going to be so much more pressure on them to succeed. Yeah. They're four seasons without a trophy. They have to win one this year. And I'm not talking about just winning any trophy. They've got to win something big. They need the Champions League or the Premier League this year.
I think he's absolutely right. And I think it's got a couple of different dimensions to it. One is that, you know, can we go for a game like we saw on Saturday, like we just have, and not mention Bruno Fernandes' goal? We don't mention it because of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Right?
I mentioned it because I did not put Ronaldo in my fantasy team. I was really pissed off, Luke.
Yeah. I tried to get in your head again.
And I was quite happy about weekend. It. Yeah, no,
you did. But the point is, I'm sure Bruno and Cristiano are big pals. I don't know. We can ask Andy and he'll be able to tell us. But say they're not, what does it mean for Bruno Fernandes? So I have to put up with this whenever I play for my country, and now I've got to put up with it in my club as well. Like, there's two aspects to it. One is the fact that it puts a load of pressure on them to actually start winning things, which you'd hope Ronaldo will help them with. But secondly, it's like, are you happy with not being the main man anymore? How long has Jadon Sancho been able to enjoy being a marquee sign at United? Well, it looked like the honeymoon was over to me on Saturday because he didn't really do anything. So maybe it's too simplistic to say, but Solskjaer's now got a different challenge. It's one of expectation and pressure. And it's one not anymore of rebuilding the team after Ferguson left. It's now you've been given everything you need and you've decided what you want, and here you've been given it. So if you don't deliver, there's going to be questions asked, and there should be as well.
On the flip side of that, footballers all want to win. They just want to win trophies. They want something to be able to look back on and say, look, I mean, surely as a footballer, you would rather be part of a really successful football team that has won Champions League, Premier League trophies, etc., than just being, oh, but I was the main man at the club, but we didn't win anything. You know what I mean?
And so, well, ideally, they want both.
Yeah, they do want both. But I think that Bruno Fernandes isn't just going to drift away and become a nothingy player at United. Mm. I think he's actually, he will still be just as influential because the link-up play and his creativity is going to be, it's going to be so important to Manchester United. And you see that with Paul Pogba as well, getting another two assists in the game. There's talks about him signing a new contract at Manchester United. Now, I thought that was going to be quite an interesting dynamic because from what we all hear about Paul Pogba is that he wants to be the main man.
Mm.
And obviously with Ronaldo coming back, how would that affect him? Well, actually, I think now he probably sees that this is a club where he can get a lot of joy out of playing because he's surrounded by world-class players and they're going to win stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And then he can chip off with a smile on his face to the festival and dance around on stage.
Burna Boy. Who Burna is Burna Boy? Boy?
I don't know.
Not really sure.
Heard of him?
Never heard of him.
Till this weekend?
I haven't heard of him.
Real Madrid player there, don't they?
Say again?
Real Madrid player there, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Never heard of him.
It's going to be a big October for Manchester United.
For Burna Boy as well, probably.
And for Burna Boy, possibly. I don't know. Yeah, everything's out of lockdown now, so look, festivals are going ahead. Everton, Leicester, Liverpool, Spurs, Atalanta twice. It's going to be a busy.
But that's the flaw to the argument you guys are making about United and how good they're going to be. Is that there are a lot of other really good teams in the Premier League.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and you ain't going to win the league beating Newcastle twice.
And if Leicester, who finished right up there last season and have been up there for the last two seasons, end the season with nothing this season, what's going to be said? Nothing.
Leicester are flattered to deceive, though, losing again this weekend against Man City, and now they've got European football to focus on this week with the Europa League.
But the expectations are different, Jules, is what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, no, totally. And Spurs are one of the teams that obviously they were top of the league leading into the weekend. They hadn't lost a game, they hadn't conceded. And then they lost 3-0 to Patrick Vieira's Crystal Palace. Still haunting them, eh, Luke?
He is. He is the spectre at the feast. I thought...
Palace looked good.
They did look decent. I thought...
Gallagher were playing against 10 men, though.
Gallagher was excellent. But that's Spurs' own fault, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like... The wheel of fortune spun and Spurs only got 10 men.
He absolutely had a head loss though, Tanganga, didn't he? You could see he was going to get sent off, Pete, couldn't you? The minute he was rattled, you were like, he's a goner.
He'd done an hour. Let him rest.
Yeah, I've worked really hard this hour. I just found Spurs' midfield is a bit stodgy for me. You know, Højbjerg, Skip and Winks. Okay,
they're good at work.
Yeah. He's brilliant. He's brilliant at what he does, but he's not going to win you a game.
Mm.
He's going to stop you losing a game. He's going to link to attacking players to do their job if he can. He can't do it all on his own. I thought Dele Alli was really underwhelming again. Although, to be fair, I mean, he's kind of been welcomed back into the fold. He's not been too bad, but I mean, he's definitely had a really difficult year or two, as everyone knows. And Palace were decent. And it's a huge statement by them because, look, people, like it or not, are going to draw the comparison with what happened with De Boer. And, you know, you bring in a manager who's, you know, obviously different, but he was a younger European manager. Vieira is a completely different proposition to Hodgson. And the task he's been asked to do, replace a lot of players, change the style, keep them in the Premier League. Hodgson was so steady, so good at keeping them there and doing the business and getting them to a position where you knew what you'd expect. And all that's been taken away now. So for them to win really well against a team who've, you know, fair enough, they flattered to deceive in the last year or so, but are very well resourced and who are a good, you know, good solid team full of international players, was amazing. And Odson Edouard's introduction to the Premier League is fantastic. Mm. If he carries on like that, I mean...
Nothing wound me up more than that, by the way.
Why?
Because Brighton were linked with Edouard, weren't they?
Oh, right,
and
okay,
Brighton
yeah.
didn't want to pay the wages, and so he signed for Palace. And that hurts.
That's what it gets
that
you.
Hurts.
That's what those wages
Go
get you.
Go to our rivals
the more upset.
And score in 28 seconds and then get a brace on your debut. Can you not? Can
There's
you
a lot of debut
not?
Goals this weekend.
That
from,
just
from
wound me up, that really did.
I just thought Selhurst Park was absolutely bouncing.
It was such a good... The atmosphere's amazing there.
I'd love that ground.
2 weeks' time, Edouard scores two more against Brighton.
Can you piss off?
I'm just telling you, it's happening. Deal with it. Get used to it.
Can you piss off the future? You can't tell the future to piss off.
And by the way, have you seen the Premier League table? You seen where Brighton are? No, that's a no. Yeah. Is that a no, Luke?
Third.
That's a no. I don't give a shit. They're fifth.
Is that yeah.
Were they third briefly?
We were. We were up there until Chelsea won. And then
how many snapshots did you take?
Just a few.
How can you get excited about it so early in the season?
because it took us 19 games last season to win this many matches, and we've done it in the first four, which is quite amazing. So I'm happy. I'm gonna milk it for now.
Do you think Crystal Palace fans will be happy with that coverage of that game? You talking about Brighton.
Welcome.
Oxlade Edwards scored two goals. Of course, he was linked with Brighton. Here's what Brighton are doing.
By the fact of being a football team. Yeah.
No, we talked enough about Vieira Ball, didn't we?
Yeah, well,
you've had enough airtime, Palace. Let's move on and talk about Arsenal. They got a win. Sorry, Jim, you're not here to talk about this one today. But was it a good win?
30 shots and that was the goal they came
up with. They beat Norwich.
Absolute screamer.
Relegation battle, the bottom two, and Arsenal come out on top. Yeah. Look, I mean,
it was important, wasn't it?
Oh my God, was it? It was so important. Yep, 100%. They really, really needed that. And it was, it was a bit scrappy. But the thing is, watching that match, the two players are the players that you watch and you think they're the only ones that are making anything happen here. Emile Smith-Rowe and Bukayo Saka again. But I feel like we're just like a broken record talking about this. I didn't really see a massive amount of difference in Arsenal's performance. Did you?
I think I was expecting a more fluid performance from Arsenal because they do have their players back. This is their full strength side, pretty much, apart from like one or two. And you had a couple of debutants, but it was a Yeah, I agree, Jules. I expected if they were going to win, they were going to win more convincingly. But then 30 shots, that is weird, isn't it?
The situation they're in, you alluded to yourself already, Pete, just get the win. Yep. Just get the win. And we will see a reverting to the mean because the proposition is different. Playing Norwich at home, despite the fact that at first glance it might look quite similar, it's nowhere near the same as playing Brentford away on the opening day of their first game in the Premier League and their first game in the top flight in their new stadium and all the rest of it with fans. Mm. Completely different proposition. Yeah. Arsenal were shell-shocked by Brentford. They were very, very poor against Brentford because they couldn't handle the occasion. So beaten fairly straightforwardly by Chelsea at home and then Man City away. That's a tough start. Mm. You know, to be fair to them, the only other game they've played this season has been the League Cup against West Brom and they battered them. Mm. So Norwich at home, get the win. And I think that's why Arteta said what he said after the game.
The best week in his life.
But I kind of get it. And I think if you take it...
Really?
Yeah, because...
He won the FA Cup.
Yeah, but if you take aside the kind of slightly different idea that he's speaking English as a second language, what he's talking about is probably that he learnt the most, that he dug out the most, and that the win that they got was so satisfying because of what's gone on in the past. And yeah, we can sit here in the studio and take the piss out of Arteta and take the piss out of Arsenal because it's funny. And that's, you know, that's our job, right? It's also our job to say, look, Arteta's taken a lot of digs there. The last two or three weeks, he's been absolutely hammered by everyone and he's come out fighting and he's come out with a win at a basket case of a club, okay? and they've done well. I don't begrudge him one second, Sam, whatever he wants to say after that game because he's earned it and he's not shied away and he's fronted up. I personally think he says some odd things. I think he doesn't help himself sometimes. Clearly, he's a passionate guy and he deserves to enjoy that win. I genuinely believe that. I think you've got to say that. If you're going to say it on one hand, you've got to say it on the other hand as well.
You must have had some shit weeks in your life.
Well, started one next to you here this week.
Best week of your life, Pete. What did it involve?
Car boot, probably. Ooh,
probably big car boot, yeah.
It was a big win for Arsenal. And credit to them, in fairness, because Norwich actually, I thought, defended really well. We saw in Norwich's previous games them shipping so many goals and they really tightened up for this match. So there was actually, for them, they saw an opportunity in that game to maybe be a bit more pragmatic than they had been previously. And it made it difficult for Arsenal. As you say, they had so many shots, Arsenal, and they managed the one goal, but the win was the only thing that really was important for them. So,
and them not conceding, if they had gone a goal behind, that could have been horrific. Mm. The atmosphere could have turned. I mean, to be fair to Arsenal fans, they're also singing "We Are Staying Up," you know, during the game, which is quite funny.
They were very supportive, I thought, of Arteta, and I thought that would. I think that's something that Arteta drew from as well. I think he enjoyed the chance that they could turn at any moment. Arsenal fans are always accused of just being complaining and capricious, but like, yeah, it was just nice to see them singing Arteta's name.
Yeah, and
whether
I think
he deserves it or not.
Last week we discussed the idea whether, you know, do you think the problems Arsenal are going through are the club's fault or Arteta's fault? I think you have to come down the side of this. It's completely what's happening at the club, and Arteta's doing his very best. Now, you don't stay in a Premier League job because you do your best. Mm. You do it because you win games. Mm. And he's done that at the weekend, and I think he deserves credit for it.
Burnley next.
Oh, not a fun one. Right, more to come from the weekend's games after this.
Hold up. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Frank LeBeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble.
Nice.
Frank the Beef.
There we are. It is Jules, Luke and Pete here with you this Monday, going through all the weekend's games. Before we get back to that, let's see how we got on in Betway's 4 to Score. Remember, entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further terms and conditions apply. The first match, therefore, was Leicester City against Manchester City. Kate picked one of the Man City boys, Ferran Torres. She wasn't right. It was Bernardo Silva. Game two was Luke's beloved Southampton against West Ham. Pete, you picked Mikel Antonio, but it was goalless.
He was involved.
Yeah.
he did his stuff.
My fantasy captain
period
as well.
Of time.
Oh, sorry, Luke.
Sending off. -2, that means you got
I didn't,
for him.
Yeah. I didn't change
Ouch.
My team, so I had like 3 injuries in there.
Callum Wilson, captain then.
Yep.
Chelsea, Aston Villa, Andy picked Romelu Lukaku, and it was Big Rom himself that got the goal. The fourth game was the Leeds-Liverpool game, which we'll talk about in a moment. Luke, you picked Diogo Jota.
Yeah.
But it was Mo Salah.
I know.
Who got the first goal.
It's not news to me, Jules. I know who scores.
I know. There you go. We'll be back for another round of 4 to Score on the preview show this Friday. Right, it's now time for this.
If you've got something for us, shortfootaround.com.
Oh, nice. The shortened version.
Shortened version.
I like it, Pete.
Little radio edit.
Getting it moved along. We'll do a drum and bass one next week.
Yeah.
From Glenn, who's reached out after John Terry's custard story. A fair few years ago, I worked as a waiter in the Gosforth Park Hotel in Newcastle. The majority of away teams and recently moved players used to stay there during the 90s. One night before a game against Bradford, they were all sat in the restaurant having their evening meal and just the coaching staff were left, including Neville Southall. He shouted me over to ask if there was any custard. At that time, it was some posh AA Rosette restaurant, and I'd never served custard, so said I would ask. I went to the dessert chef, and he said, no, but we have crème anglaise, which is some kind of thinner, sweeter, Frenchier thing.
Nice.
Essentially would suit a custard need. I went back to inform Neville and got as far as to say, sorry, sir, we don't have any custard, but we have. And he started shouting at me, fuck off, call us a fucking restaurant, fucking bollocks. I was sent away to the staff room for 10 minutes, came back up and he was gone. Still boils my piss to this day. Fuck Neville Southall and his love of custard.
I'm not really sure what Big Nev's playing at there, because he could have just gone across the road and got a can.
A can of custard?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the 90s, they sell cans of custard. Oh, yeah. Like you mean like ambrosia,
yeah,
kind of.
Ambrosia.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm being very foolish, aren't I?
God, yeah. you're just thinking of the posh fridge stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah, the Marks and Sparks stuff, yeah. Big came Nev, in the late 90s.
Big Nev comes across as an all right bloke these days. So maybe,
yeah,
maybe
he's mellowed a little
maybe
bit.
He was angry. He was hangry and he yeah. needed his
I
custard.
I think that a decent restaurant should be able to whip you up some bloody custard, quite
yeah,
frankly.
I agree.
You've
I
got
agree.
A chef on hand. Make him some blood. Make Big Nev some
but
custard.
You know what? I think where
well,
our,
Glenn
where
get
our
to the
friend
end of the
Glenn. Where, no, I actually think where our friend Glenn went wrong here is just say to Nev, look, mate, we've got you some custard.
Just give it custard.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
posh.
Just, yeah,
we've
just
got custard,
bad custard,
mate.
Yeah.
It's posh custard.
This is Tipex.
But it's custard.
He's just going to pour it down his
really,
gut.
Because really, like,
anyway.
Would Neville Southall really have gone, no, 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 that's not custard, that's a French anglaise.
That's a French anglaise.
Like, you know what I mean?
Creme anglaise.
Creme anglaise. Yeah. Same bloody thing.
The, remember
it.
When Neville Southall just didn't go into the dressing room for the team talk for the half time one time? He just sat on his post.
Yeah.
Because he just wanted to clear his head because he was just having a bad first half. And he was just like, just think about custard.
I mean, he was an amazing goalkeeper back in the day.
He was best in Europe.
Best in the world, yeah. I can't believe the amount of crossover between custard and football. Moyes, Terry,
yeah.
and now
so
Southall.
So many custards.
Every footballer's got a custard story.
Because right. custard is great.
Yeah, true. James
a lot
has
of Portuguese
been
tarts around as well, I
That's
imagine.
That's true. Pastel donata. Yeah. James has been in touch. He said, I'd just like to send you in some new Fizzer information.
Oh, we like it.
My old boss at work bought a house off him in a place called Rawtenstall, just north of Manchester. Nice house. But the special feature we were all told about was that he had his initials engraved into the carpet. Tacky or a hint that Florida was always coming?
Didn't somebody his house when they were playing for Everton?
They all rent different houses.
Yeah, and he had a shit pool table with his name on it.
I think that might be right.
I seem to remember seeing that particular bit of Trumpian nonsense.
I think what happens is the players move on, so they have these houses that they end up renting out, and new players come to the area and they go, well, it's a football house, I'll just take this one.
Yeah.
And I think another player came in, because I'm pretty sure Jurgen Klopp, he certainly did until very recently, he may still do. I think he lives in the house Brendan Rodgers owns.
Right, okay.
So yes, I think it happens
right.
quite a lot. So, what do you, Pete? Actually, Jules, you're the perfect person
go
to
on.
Ask. You've almost certainly got your initials woven into a carpet in your house somewhere.
No, I fucking don't. JB.
I like that
I
you
don't.
Asked Jules rather than me.
Yeah, because it's not
I'm
your
more
thing.
Of a carver.
Yeah, you are.
Carve my initials into something.
Burn it into the carpet with a lighter, with a Zippo.
I did write a romantic, romantic message on the floor, on a pavement, outside my rented accommodation last time round with a pressure washer. So,
for what? What did it say?
For love.
What did it say?
It doesn't matter what it said.
I want to know what it said.
You brought
very
it
very erotic.
Was it?
I do have jewels carved into my favourite kitchen knife. Don't know if that sounds a bit
That's
weird.
That's quite cool.
Yeah. You can never commit a crime with that.
The reason why is because my dad's a chef.
Oh, okay,
so,
fair dues.
So he
nice.
Always gets me like really nice knives to use in the kitchen, and he just for some reason carved my name into it.
I
don't know
knife.
Why.
Love a good knife.
It's a really bloody good knife, like the type that just like just.
Do you sharpen it on the?
My dad does. I don't do that.
Your dad sharpens a knife for you.
Dad sharpens my knife.
Are you 8 years old?
No.
I've got an excellent knife sharpener.
Make the most of them while they're in the country.
Yeah.
To be fair, my mum said to me, do you want me to come and clean the house next week? I was like, yes, please. Come on then.
Hang on, so they're going to go back home
They're
soon.
Going to Jamaica.
So she's carrying weeks. A lampshade home.
No, they've got a house in Brighton, haven't they?
She wore it as a hat. She's wearing a hat.
It's not carry-on, it's a hat.
Right, let's get to it. Firstly, let me just remind you of the email address, show@footballramble.com. Tweet us at Football Ramble. We love hearing your stories, especially if they involve custard or initials and carpets. Let's get to one of the other games from the weekend. Wolves getting their first win of the season. I'm actually really pleased for Bruno Lage because, look, heading into the weekend, despite the fact that they hadn't scored, they hadn't won a game, they hadn't picked up a single point, they'd had the third most shots going into the weekend and they'd actually been playing some really nice football and they'd been incredibly frustrated by their first three matches. So actually, I was really delighted and it took a really horrible own goal for them to get their first goal of the season. But sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're absolutely spot on there. And it's easy for us to say that they've just got to keep the faith. But if you're a new manager in the Premier League, which is an absolute bear pit, you probably start asking questions of yourself a few games in when you haven't got anything out of them. So they did that. They got their just rewards. I actually think, and this wasn't picked up on the commentary, but Sierra Alta, who scored the own goal, I'm almost certain that it was because he had the sun in his eyes. He was dazzled by the sun. It was a comedy own goal. But if you look at the profile of the shadow from the stand and he's right in the sun, the sun's really low. 20 minutes later, the pitch is completely in shadow. So the sun's right at that point. I reckon he completely lost a lot of the ball.
Are you blaming Vicarage Road for this?
What you're trying to say is
I'm blaming our closest star. Yeah, they could they do that?
Imagine footballers wearing caps.
But, yeah. But isn't it interesting how, like, so...
Head clearly, it off the rim.
Clearly Vicarage Road's been there for a long time, right? Vicarage Road. If a new stadium's built now, I'd love to know if they consider that. If they bear in mind where the sun's going to be at a certain time on Saturday afternoon.
Because it's a chaos factor, isn't it, I suppose?
100%. But that could be vital for Watford coming down the season.
But that changes throughout the year because the sun goes down in different... Like, you know
it
what
does.
I mean? Like, so.
But I'm sure you could build a stadium facing a certain way. Yeah, what I'm saying. So it would never be a problem.
There we go.
Out of all the fit considerations, it's probably a low one, but I agree. If a clever manager would probably factor that into his decisions.
Aggregated marginal gains. Mm. Even watching it, I don't know if you guys agree, but even watching a football match when there's a shadow over half the pitch.
Oh, yeah, hate it.
Because the camera can't adjust quite quickly enough.
Oh, the ISO settings are all over the place.
Yeah,
half and half. It's confusing.
But that what was the scrappier goal? Was it Hwang Hee-chan's or the Arsenal goal? Because they were both pretty similar.
Pretty
he was so
similar,
happy.
Oh, he would be. I mean, he just come straight off a flight, wasn't it? Like 16-hour flight. It's like, Jesus Christ. And it looked like the sort of goal a man who just get good taking off his DVD socks. DVD socks.
Yeah. You've watched your DVD on your leg.
Yeah. How good was the South Korean commentary of that
Amazing.
Goal, though? You heard it, Pete. It was quite sensational.
I didn't hear it.
The excitement in their voices, Luke, was amazing, wasn't it?
Incredibly excited. I would go as far as to say almost as excited. There we go. You can hear it.
I'm on fire. Beautiful.
Was that as excitable as the Dutch commentary that your friend watched of the Man United game?
Oh, it's up there, definitely. Yeah.
What, he told you about that as well?
No, they were quite chill, to be honest. It was quite a nice listen, to be honest.
But what, do you fear for Watford, Jules?
Do I fear for them? I think it's too early to say, but the fact they haven't scored any goals or picked up any points since that opening game where they looked so good.
But they got pegged back badly by Villa, didn't they?
But they have played really good teams like Brighton since then. So you know. To be fair, I love Sisko though. He's like the nicest manager in the Premier League, I think. Don't you think he's got a lovely face?
Nice guys come last, don't they?
Always looks happy. I don't think they'll finish bottom, Watford. That's all I'm saying. Don't think
cold comfort for them there, isn't it?
Second bottom.
Yeah. Liverpool got another win, 3-0 over Leeds. They are looking so comfortable. There's just a real calmness to Liverpool this season, and I think they probably are quite enjoying the fact that they're not kind of up there with as much pressure as the likes of Man United and Chelsea, Man City even, to go on and win the title. But this game was marred by the horrible injury to poor old Harvey Elliott, and it's such a shame because at his age, this and the way the season has started for him, this looked like it was going to be his real breakthrough season. It's never nice seeing any player get an injury like this where they have to be stretchered off the pitch.
Yeah.
But I think because this season just felt so promising for him, it just makes it that bit harder to take, doesn't it, for the Liverpool fans and for him, obviously.
It does. He started the season really well. It's great that Liverpool had, you know, obviously taken a step back from making any really big signings with the exception of Konate and look like they want to promote from within, and you don't even really need to be a Liverpool fan to know all about the reputation of Harvey Elliott, who's impressed on loan last season, has been around the first team squad for a long time, and he started the season really well. It's a dreadful injury, proper dislocation of the ankle, and I think we're still waiting for the accurate report of exactly what's happened and how long his rehabilitation is going to be.
I think he's going into surgery soon, isn't he?
I think it will almost certainly be as soon as possible. Yeah, I mean look, there are a lot of really great players throughout history who've suffered really, really bad injuries who have come back from them. You know, the great Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo, terrible knee injuries and was still able to have such an amazing career. You know, look what happened to Aaron Ramsey. His career's gone from strength to strength, even though he suffered a really bad one. So look, the great news is that, like, in modern medicine, it's not necessarily anything to worry about long term. It's not a career ender or anything like that, but it will be a huge setback, not just physically for him, but mentally as well. Yeah. Aaron Ramsey talked really eloquently about the mentality he needed to get into, because people forget, I think, that the key moment's going to be when you come back and the first challenge you go into. How do you feel mentally about that? Because if you can't get it back mentally at the very top level in sport, very difficult for you. But I'm sure he'll be back. I'm sure he'll go on from strength to strength. Very, very difficult for everyone to watch to such a young man, or to anyone really, but particularly a young guy at the start of his career. But he's got enough time to rehabilitate. And I was really encouraged actually by the noise is coming out of Liverpool. You said, yeah, we'll be with him. We'll be with him every step of the way. We'll look after him. And they will, I'm sure. And the way they looked after Van Dijk was outstanding.
Well, there's enough players who have spent a long time on the sidelines due to some pretty horrific injuries in Liverpool who can sort of...
Van Dijk more recently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oxlade-Chamberlain as well is one that spoke out recently, well, a year or so ago, and he was out injured for quite a while. And I know that, like, from speaking to a lot of pundits that I've worked with that have had quite bad injuries in their time, they say that the hardest bit is the fact that you are really isolated during that period and the fact that you don't have your teammates around and you have to do everything separately. And so you're not part of that dynamic that you're so used to every day. It's similar to when these players retire, their routine is completely out of whack.
Yeah.
And that'll be the most difficult thing. But I think that what Liverpool do have is they've got such an amazing team spirit. You could see that when he got injured and how they all rallied round. Also, actually, to be fair to the Elland Road crowd as well, they applauded him off as well, which I thought was a really nice touch. And it was nice to see Harvey Elliott was, you know, up and clapping the fans as well. So we all wish him a speedy recovery and hope to see him back on the pitch as soon as possible. In terms of other matters on the pitch, though, Mo Salah got his 100th Premier League goal for Liverpool in 162 appearances, the fifth fastest to reach a century, which is quite amazing because when you look at that list of other players to have reached 100 goals in the Premier League, they're all out and out strikers. Yeah. Mo Salah is effectively like a wide winger, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
And he's a player that a lot of people, I think I certainly have this opinion, he can appear patchy sometimes. So how can it be a patchy?
It's crazy, right?
Patchy with that kind of goal record.
If Mane passed him a bit more, he'd have more than that.
He's an Apache, yes. What I think is really interesting is, if you look at Mo Salah now, he's what, 29? So he's kind of, you'd say he's in the prime of his career, probably.
He's always looked 40.
I wasn't going to say that. I was just going to say, really, until he hit the ground running at Liverpool, which would have been, this is his fifth season with Liverpool, I think, he didn't actually really score that many. But he had two pretty good goal-scoring seasons, pretty good goal-scoring seasons at Roma. Yeah, obviously, everyone knows what happened to him at Chelsea. Yeah, before that, at Basel, he didn't really score a huge amount of goals. He's been on loan at Fiorentina, didn't score that many. It just seems to have been something at Liverpool where he's just clicked. And is it 98 of those league goals have come at Liverpool, the 100, in the last 5 years? Yeah. So it's incredible, really, how it's a little bit underrated because people talk about Jamie Vardy and how late he came to the Premier League. Well, Salah's not come to the Premier League in any meaningful way that much earlier than Vardy. He just seems like a dip. Well, I suppose he has, but you know what I mean? It's not someone that's happened from the very, very start. And you're right, he is a wide forward rather than an out-and-out striker. The game has evolved a little bit, though. A lot of those players... I'm old enough to remember when there was a little pub quiz question used to go around, name the six players you've got 100 Premier League goals or whatever. Now it's like 30 or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
But he's done brilliantly. He's done really well.
His consistency levels are what just makes him so good. Like every season he is up there challenging for the Golden Boot, if not winning it. And he'll be up there again. And when you consider this season that you've got the likes of Romelu Lukaku, Ronaldo back in the league, to have him up there as well. I mean, he's for me just, he for me ranks as one of the best strikers in inverted commas that I think we'll ever see in the Premier League. He's phenomenal.
And if he sticks around, even if he moves away from Liverpool, he'll still be knocking them in, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, on Lukaku, I really felt sorry for him at the weekend. I thought...
Did you?
His performance...
Was it the knee slide?
His funny knee slide that he messed up. I thought he was the best I've ever seen him. A complete performance from an already very complete footballer. But it obviously got overshadowed by Ronaldo's carnival and also the tennis. He was kind of the meat in the sandwich. So I kind of felt sorry for him because he was just amazing.
He'll have his time.
Business. He's just business-like Romelu Lukaku.
That second goal, what a finish. He is something else. It's going to be really hard to call who's going to win the Golden Boot this year, which is quite exciting. Yeah. But yeah, another win for Chelsea as well, as you mentioned. We were talking just a moment ago about injuries. And of course, injuries are never something you want to see. But this is quite a funny one, and I think you'll agree with me. Heerenveen's Veins Rami Kaib has been ruled out for 5 weeks after he suffered a broken jaw whilst eating a carrot.
But was it him eating the carrot or was it Pete's dog eating the carrot?
I know, yeah, right?
Speaking of dogs eating carrots, we could get Pablo in. He's Let's in the get office
Pablo
today.
In. Let's get a carrot.
Oh, we could have played again, couldn't we?
So that's not a carrot. That's a stick of concrete, right? How's that actually happened?
I don't
How
know.
Big was the carrot?
So I read when I knew we were going to be talking about this, I read that he had an injury to his face anyway.
Oh, so he didn't know.
But he
maybe
carried
just
on.
Didn't know.
He thought it was fine. And he bit into a particularly large and hard carrot.
Who eats raw carrots nowadays? Mm.
Well, why is he eating it in during a match,
carrots.
Though?
Yeah.
Heavy for the body to process. Very tight.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's very it's compressed.
Not, so I also had a little look up at football's most like ridiculous injuries. And there's some good ones. Apparently a Barnsley midfielder called Darren Barnard, who I vaguely remember, was out of the game once for 5 months because he tore a knee ligament slipping on a puddle of his puppy's piss.
No way.
Kieran Dyer injured his left eye colliding with a pole in training. David James pulled a muscle in his back while reaching for the remote control.
That's a good one.
I remember Santiago Canizares packing to go to an international tournament with Spain and dropping a bottle of aftershave on his foot.
Ooh,
and it smashed and sliced a tendon in his toe.
What? Wow.
Yeah. The best one for me, though, is, do you remember? So
there was one recently where a footballer got injured taking the bins out. That was actually quite recent, wasn't it?
Right. Mm. Well, the best one for me, older listeners will remember Everton goalkeeper Richard Wright. He was amazing for Ipswich, and I think he got a big money move to Everton, and he got some really bad injuries. One was because he twisted his ankle falling over a sign that telling him not to practice in the goal mouth. Right? And the second one was when he moved to Everton, he really hurt himself, I think, falling through the loft hatch while taking his suitcases up to the attic.
Oh, wonderful. That's one of the most difficult jobs, getting anything into a loft, I think.
That is Frank Spencer
Absolute
stuff.
Absolute Spencer
though,
stuff. Yeah. I mean, you know, David Luiz is going to Flamengo.
Yeah.
I think he might get injured from the humidity. Just that.
What,
just
the hair?
Yeah. Like, heavy.
Yeah. Heavy.
Heavy
hair.
Neck.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Bad neck.
Possible.
Not good. Also, in other news, Jude Bellingham, who actually has been linked with Liverpool, he had a good weekend, boys, because he tried his first pint.
He did
He's
not.
He's only a young'un, isn't he?
He did not mean to do it.
He's a young'un.
So, those who've seen this, or those who haven't seen this, Erling Braut Haaland scores.
Of course.
They all
he
go
does.
And celebrate, obviously, yeah. They all go and celebrate in the corner. It's a terrible trend now, but fans, for some reason, think throwing plastic cups full of booze is like the way to protest a goal being scored against you, which I think is pathetic. Mm. Bellingham, to be fair to him, catches one
while
in his left
also
hand,
on the back of another player,
on the back of Haaland. Mm. And I think he thinks it's empty. So he pretends to drink out of it because he's seen Declan Rice do it.
And then it's in his mouth.
It was full of beer. It splashed all on his face and he looked absolutely distraught
about
it.
That's why he's not Premier League quality.
Yeah, that's why he won't cut it in our league.
He said he wasn't a fan. So
you could see that by looking at his face.
Yeah.
Well, you just don't want a pint during the game. I mean, like, of all the times for a pint, it's not the time, is it?
No.
Luke, remember when we went to Spurs Watford a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
And we talked about why you have lids on the bottles.
Yeah.
And we said it was because if you have lids on things, then it hurts when
you throw them.
Yeah,
because
it keeps the water in.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, this didn't help because there was still liquid in it. Clearly,
exactly.
So surely you can just.
I've heard this also for if there's an emergency evacuation of the stadium, if the lids are on bottles of water or bottles of any kind of drink, people can really hurt themselves treading on them.
Oh, slippy. Oh,
so
right.
Take,
okay,
take
yeah,
the lid
yeah.
off it.
I think that.
Rolls,
I told him that was bollocks. He didn't listen to me.
I don't know. I mean, it
people
yeah.
can email in. Maybe there's a health and safety officer listening, Jules. You better tell us.
Please write in and tell us. Right, let's just come away from the Premier League for a minute and talk a bit about Serie A. Jose Mourinho has celebrated his 1,000th game, the Roma game that he managed against Sassuolo yesterday. Was that 1,000th game in charge for him? Stephen El Shaarawy scored the winner in injury time, prompting Mourinho to spring down to the touchline and join in the celebrations. It's a classic Mourinho, isn't it?
Yeah, I for one am hugely surprised that Mourinho wanted to hijack a last minute winning goal that sent Roma further up the table by just reminding everyone physically that it was his 1,000th game. To be fair, they are top of the league now, but I mean, it's not like, you can't imagine every manager doing that, right? Because his quote was,
I told everyone lies.
Yeah, I told everyone I didn't give a shit about it, but actually I really do. And it's like, mate, your team just won a game.
Yeah.
But that's the Mourinho brand,
isn't it? Of course
it
is. That is Mourinho for you. But yeah, look, Tammy Abraham's doing quite well over there, isn't he? He's had a really good start to his life at Roma. Mm. And I'm pleased for him because the last thing I wanted was for him to, you know, sit on the bench at Chelsea and not do anything. But
Nicky Bandini on OTC was very effusive, sort of saying that he can have a wonderful time, and he is exactly what they need. Mm.
It would be a fascinating chapter in the Mourinho story if he took Roma, who clearly have no real tradition of consistently winning a league title. Mm. If he took them to a title in Italy, it would completely upturn the Mourinho narrative, because people were saying, weren't they, when Roma hired him, well, that just shows how great his reputation is. He's a one, like we talked about Ronaldo, he's a one-man industry. His Spurs team, for a lot of that period, were terrible. Like, they looked awful. He looked like he poisoned everything he touched at one point. For him to go to Roma, listen, they're three games in. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it were to happen, it would be a fascinating epilogue. Even if it's going to be an epilogue, I suppose, because he's still got plenty of time on his side to his management career. It really would.
Yeah, and all eyes will be on European football this week, because it's the return of the Champions League and the Europa League this week, which is quite exciting. So lots of football to talk about this week. But there's also a brand new book club out today to get stuck into before the European football starts. Kate and Jim spoke to Simon Cooper about his brand new book, Barca, The Inside Story of the World's Greatest Football Club. He discusses Messi's legacy, where things have been going wrong behind the scenes for years there, and reveals what Johan Cruyff was really like. So search Football Ramble Presents to listen to that one. And Kate will be here tomorrow as well. She's going to be joining both of you lovely fellas to talk about the big game tonight.
We're subbing you and Pablo out, and we're subbing Kate in.
Yeah.
Kate has to source a dog from somewhere.
Kind of dog bring it in.
Kate, if you don't bring a dog in tomorrow, you're not going to be as popular as me. There you go. I'm just saying, dogs make people popular.
They do.
They do.
It's a great substitute for a genuinely engaging personality.
Yeah. Like right, cat boy. You got two of them.
Do I have to put up with him?
Honestly.
I think it's contractual.
Yeah. Right. Thanks for listening, guys. Cheers, Pete. Cheers, Luke.
See
you next time.
Bye.
Assume Pablo is
he's with Chaz.
Chaz. Good. Yeah. All right.
Just had a bit of screeching outside of a car and a bang. So we'll have to do it.
Right, shall we?
There's a gigantic turd in the car park, but I think that's probably just Charlie.
Or me.
Yeah, you on the way in.
Right. Patrick Vieira continues to haunt Spurs. Mikel Arteta eats a canary for lunch, and Ronaldo returns to Old Trafford in style. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday, the 13th of September. I'm
yes!
It's too long!
Oh, you couldn't get going.
That'd be great. Juice break. Come on. Sorry. I like that.
Hang on. Let's go again.
Do it again.
Let's do it again.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. Then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.